If you weren't wearing a tie, you were like, CPA back there.
It was part of the one of the questions on the exam was, what color tie are you required to wear?
Okay, gentlemen. See, remember we're on Daf Chof Dalet. And we did the machlokes yesterday between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. So that's what we want to pick up on today. So we're going to start with, again, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. Machlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. That's what we want to start with. So we're on Chof Dalet, Omer Aleph. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. That's, what do we say, 9 lines up from the bottom. Second line of the Gemara. And Shmuel says that the machlokes between Rabbi Meir Chachamim about Chazara only applies in the case of Machol Lecha. But in the case of Etein Lecha, even Chachamim would agree that Yochol Lachzor Bo. It means that Etein Lecha is not a complete, shall we say, serious commitment. It's not an absolute commitment. Let's call it an iffy commitment. When I say I'm going to pay you money that I don't owe you, and therefore even the Chachamim would say in that case, Yochol Lachzor Bo, he could rescind, he could change his mind. But in the case of Mechila, that's already absolutely binding. And therefore, the Chachamim would insist that in the case of Machol Lecha, Eini Yochol Lachzor Bo. So in other words, according to Shmuel, I think this is a pretty easy way of remembering it, the fundamental point of Chachamim is Mechila. When you read the Mishnah says, Eino Yochol Lachzor Bo, according to the Chachamim, it's because of the concept of Mechila. So Rashi explains, this is about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page, B'mochol Lecha, I Tovea Omar L'Nitba. So Reuven is saying to Shimon, Neman Alai Abba O Avicha, Im Yizkuch, in other words, if this Bezdin, which is made up of apostle, of a Karov, will, I'll use the word, release you of your obligation, Yehi Machol Lecha, then you don't have to pay me. In other words, I know you owe me the money, and you have a chov, and I know that if we went to the right Bezdin that was made up of three valid and qualified judges, they would certainly say that you have to pay me, but I'm willing to accept the decision of a Karov, even though technically as a judge he's disqualified, and if he decides in your favor and releases you from your obligation, Yehi Machol Lecha. Machol Lecha. So that's implicit in the agreement of the Tovea, that's Reuven, the plaintiff, to take and accept the decision of the Bezdin, even though this Bezdin is technically disqualified. And this, herein lies the secret of the Chachamim, according to Shmuel. The Chachamim say, Eini Yochol Lachzor Bo. Why? Because of the power of Mechila. Mechila is effective. And Zocha Zeba Meshe B'yado. And now the Nitba owns that which is in his possession, meaning he doesn't have to pay a chov, he doesn't have to pay up a debt which he really owes, or at least the Tovea thinks he really owes it. Mikaven Shiyotza Zakai, because the judges decided to release him of his obligation. And if you catch this logic, you know, this last principle here called Machol Lecha, which means that the Tovea is mochel on the chov that the Nitba owes him simply because he accepted the decision of this Bezdin, and the Bezdin released the Nitba of this obligation. If you understand and follow that principle, then you have everything in Shmuel. That's everything in Shmuel really boils down to this, that the Chachamim reject the possibility of Chazara because of the power and the efficacy of Mechila. When a person says Mochalacha, if the Malva says to the Lova, Mochalachov, that you owe me, that's it. There's no longer possibility of collecting that chov.
That's Shmuel, or that's Yochanan.
That's Shmuel in the Chachamim, right? Because Shmuel is telling us that you should not misunderstand the Chachamim. It's not the Chachamim say, quote, once you make a commitment, you cannot rescind that commitment. No. That's a misunderstanding. You can make a commitment and you can change your mind, as long as it wasn't a mechila. So if you want to remember Shmuel, because when we get to Rabbi Yochanan, life becomes a little more complicated. So just to remember Shmuel, that the yesod of the Chachamim is the following, that mechila is effective. Not that a verbal commitment in and of itself is binding and irrevocable. No, that's not true. Therefore, be'etei lecha, says Rashi, de nitva omer letovea, im yechayvuni abba o avicha etei lecha. So now what's happening is that we're shifting our focus from the tovea, who said, I would be mochel if the Beis Din releases you of your obligation. Now we're shifting our focus on to the nitba, who says that I'm willing to pay you in event that this Beis Din finds me chayav, even though I know I'm potter, but I'm willing to pay you. That's called etein lecha. Is divrei akol yochel lachzor bo. Even the sheet of Rabbi Meir would not go as far as to say, I'm sorry, even the sheet of Chachamim who say, yochel lachzor bo, would not go as far as to say that this statement, which is called etein lecha, where again the nitba says to the tovei, if they find me guilty, I'll pay out of pocket, even though I don't owe you a dime, that the Chacham would say he could change his mind, because that's not mechila, that's etein lecha. That means I'm taking money out of my pocket and I'm going to give it to you. Well, that's pledges, and pledges are not binding. They may be morally binding, and a person should be good for his word, but monetarily, in terms of what you can sue for in a court of law, in a Jewish court of law, a statement and a declaration of a pledge to give money when you don't have to give money, you're not obligated to give money, that is not binding. And therefore, divrei akol yochel lachzor, Rashi says three lines up from the bottom, da hoil vehamamon biyado, in other words, the nitva is holding on to the money, ein bo koach la tovea, right, the plaintiff cannot force the defendant to cough up that money, lahotzi, ela b'dayonim ksherim. Why? Because the nitba says, I changed my mind. I may have been in a certain mood, and I was very secure, and I had no doubt that they would find me guiltless, and they would relieve me of any, but I'll pay you if they find me obligated. But now he says, no, I want to be judged in front of a valid Beis Din, and I change my mind and I rescind my original declaration to accept the judgment of those judges that are disqualified. So Rabosai, we really could summarize Shmuel based on what I said yesterday in the name of the Nemuki Yosef. The Nemuki Yosef says that a Kabbalah, when you accept upon yourself a commitment to pay money out of pocket, below asiyas kinyan, if you didn't make an actual kinyan on it, it's not binding. And that's the sheet of the Chachamim. The only exception to the rule is going to be mechila, because mechila means that there's a pre-existing chov and you want to wipe off that chov and tell the Baal chov that he doesn't have to pay you. Well, that declaration is binding and irreversible. But other than that, any sort of Kabbalah to pay money out of pocket is just words. And if it wasn't strengthened by a kinyan, then it's not binding. And therefore, in the case of Etein Lecha, where the Nitba says, I'll pay you if they find me Chayav, and I'm going to write a check and take money out of my bank account, that's just words. And in such a case, is Divrei HaKol Yochel Lachzabo, the Chacham and Rav Meir never were at loggerheads on this issue. They all agree that he could change his mind in the case of Etein Lecha.
It's really the use of the words that he says, right? It's not the concept of willing to give up the money or insisting that you owe me the money. It's the use of the words machila.
Well, actually, Don, I'm not sure what you mean, because I would say the opposite, but maybe I don't understand what you're saying. Everything here of machalcha and etinlcha is all conceptual. There's no machalcha and etinlcha in the words themselves. What do I mean? In the case of machalcha, the words that came out of the mouth of the Tovea were, I'm going to accept the judgment of Abba, Avicha, Shlosha Roi Bokar, etc. Okay. That's all. In the case of Etein Lecha, what we heard is that the Nitba made a statement, I'm going to accept the judgment of these disqualified judges. Those are the words.
But both are saying basically the same thing. The first guy's saying, because the facts are that the third judge is a relative.
Correct. Right?
So the Tovea says, I accept the judgment of the judges. Even if he releases you. And the second one says, I'll accept the verdict of the judges.
Even if he's Mechayev.
Right. Right. So they're both saying the same thing. Why is one binding and one's not binding?
Exactly. Comes along Shmuel, and he says the following, that there's a fundamental difference between the Tovea,
okay,
who's willing to accept the judgment of the posel, even if it relieves the nitba of his obligation,
okay,
and the nitba who's willing to pay out of pocket if this non-qualified judge will force him to pay. See, here what we're doing.
I'm hearing
is,
the words, but it's not. I'm not internalizing.
Okay, just go slowly. Don't.
No. You don't have to repeat it.
I do have to repeat it. I'll tell you why. Because I'm convinced. I'm convinced, yeah. Don, that if I repeat it, you'll chop it. Now you know, don't be pessimistic. That's the question. I have this with my wife all the time. She says, if you're optimistic, you'll do better. You know, don't be pessimistic. So let's try to be optimistic.
Okay.
There's a fundamental difference between the following. A is where I say to you, I'm mochel achiv that you owe me, and B is where I say I'm going to pay out of pocket even though I don't owe you. In the first case, the chiv already exists. I can wipe off that chiv. Why? Because it's mine. Who am I? I'm the malveh, or the balchov, what's called, meaning you owe me money. I have total ownership over that chov.
Okay.
You owe me the money, I'm going to collect it. Here there's a new halacha called mechila. Now, what does mechila mean? In our case, it means that Tovea says to the nitba, I know you owe me money, but if the judge is blah, 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 you're off the hook. Mm-hmm. That's called mechila. Why? Because the Tovea is the owner of that money. Why? Because it's a chov. A chov means a debt, and he owns that debt. He can wipe off that debt. For that, he doesn't need kinyanin. Why? Because he's just removing himself from that chov. But if I say to you, I'm going to pay you, that's creating a whole new transaction. And words alone will not clinch and create a binding transaction, because there is no transaction. For transaction, we need a Maisa Kinyan. There was no Maisa Kinyan in that case. So the Nitba says, you know what? I'm going to pay you, Mr. Tovea, even though I don't owe you money, because this non-qualified judge decided that I lost the case. I'm going to write a check. That's a new transaction. That's called Etein Lecha. So there's a fundamental difference, not in the words. Again, both the Tovea and the Nitba are saying the same words, Neman Alay Avicha. But there's a fundamental difference between the two, because when the Tovea says Neman Alay Avicha, what he's saying is that I'm going to be Mochel Lechov, that the Nitba doesn't have to pay me, even though he really, if we went to the right Beis Din that was authorized and qualified, he would be paying me. That's called Mechila. And he owns that money. He doesn't need a new transaction. He has the right to say, I wipe off that chov. That's called mechila. And that's where the chachom say, Eina yochel lachzor. But in the case of etein lecha, which means the nitba says, I don't have to pay you really, but I'm going to pay you because I accepted the judgment of these non-qualified judges. In that case, he's basically saying, I'm going to pay you money that I don't owe you. I'm taking money out of my bank account. Well, that requires a new transaction. That requires a kinyan. And here even the Chacham agree that Yochel Lachzor. Chanai, can I ask you a great chesed? Sure. Is there maybe I don't know if there's any. I don't know if there, maybe the machine is not working.
Steve usually gets it, so he took my place in getting it. He's
yeah, well, Steve told me he couldn't make it today. I forgot why, but he'll be back tomorrow.
Just a clarification, please. In a bezdin, is there such a thing as an appeal?
Not that I know of. But this is about as close as we can get to an appeal. Why? Because it's not really a bezdin. And not only that, it's an appeal before the verdict, as we're going to soon see in Reish Lakish. That's going to be, depending upon the clock, that's going to be the second half of today's discussion. Reish Lakish says that this whole issue is irrelevant after the Gemar Din, because then we're going to say, Jerry, there's no such thing as an appeal. So in a sense, I don't want to use the word appeal because it's really a light years away from being an appeal. In two ways. Number one, because the makeup of the Beis Din is such that it's disqualified. It's not a real Beis Din. So you can appeal the case of a non-qualified Beis Din. And number two, because this appeal is only going to apply before the Gemar Din. Before Beis Din actually handed down the verdict. That's not really an appeal.
Well, as soon as these guys accept it is Bezdin, is it not?
Well, I would say the following. That it's not a Bezdin. Why? Because Shmuel insists that even the Chachamim who say Eino Yochel Lachzimah, which sounds like the Chachamim are validating this Bezdin, even they hold Yochel Lachzimah. And the only exception to that rule is Mechila. Mechila doesn't mean anything about the nature of the Bezdin. Do you understand what I mean? Mechila operates within the framework of a chov. You borrowed money from me and I want to be mochel a chov. I'm allowed to do so, and it's valid. With a Bezdin, without a Bezdin. Now, I would like you to ask me the same question you asked me once we get to Rabbi Yochanan. Because perhaps in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference, we might be able to come up with an idea that once the litigants accept this Bezdin, that even though objectively Al Pi Halacha this is a Bezdin that's possible, it becomes a Bezdin. That they, the litigants, thank you so much, can generate a status of a Bezdin to a Bezdin that's not a Bezdin. But that's Rabbi Yochanan. So let's see how we can understand Rabbi Yochanan.
So what is... Okay, I do understand what you said.
Okay.
When you put in that the Teveya owns it, and therefore you don't need another machila, right. another transaction, another kinyan. Right. Okay, but you said there was a difference between Rav Meir and the Chachamim
in the case of machila
in their positions, and then you compared that and then in case of the Chachamim they reversed their position in when it came to Yochanan. So sometimes,
well, let's wait with Rabbi Yochanan.
No, first we're in Shmuel. So we're in Shmuel, but right. Meir versus the Chachamim in this first
right.
The Shmuel.
So they're going to argue about Mechila. Again, in the case of Etin Lecha, even the Chacham agree that when a person says, I'm going to pay you, that's just words, and that's...
And that, therefore,
you can retract it.
Okay.
The weak point here in Shmuel's frame of reference is Mechila according to Rabbi Meir, meaning when the Tovea says you won't have to pay me, Rabbi Meir says he can change his mind. Why? I mean, what happened to Mechila? Did Rabbi Meir not know about the concept of Mechila? See, Shmuel doesn't answer that. He doesn't address that question. He leaves it to us. You know, he throws the ball into our court. And yesterday what we tried to suggest was that perhaps Rabbi Meir holds that this is kind of like a mistaken mechila, where a person says, I'm mochel you, but only because of a certain assumption. Like, imagine, Don, you owe me 1,000, let's say. You can imagine such a thing, right? You owe me 1,000. And I'm thinking that, you know what, Don, you're going to do me a gavaldig favor. You know, you're going to talk to the king on my behalf or something. So I'm mochel lecho. If I could prove, which would be a tough one, that the reason why I wiped off the 1,000 is because I thought you would talk to the king on my behalf, and at the end you didn't do so, that means that my original mechila was kind of iffy. It was conditional. It was really under a certain assumption. Now, in general, the law is that once you mochel, forget it. We're not going to ask you why and motivations and did you know and conditional. That's objective. It's mechila. This is the exception. This is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, why was he mochel? A nitbah says, I'm going to pay you 1,000 when I don't owe you 1,000. He's yelling and screaming, I paid you back, or whatever the case is, and now all of a sudden he's willing to write out a check. The answer is because he believes that this bezdin is going to tip the scale in his favor. If he would only know at some point, and maybe during the deliberations that we discussed yesterday, if you remember Steve was talking about preliminary hearings and all that stuff, I don't know if you heard that. Anyway, if at some point in the discussion, in the deliberation, you know, all of a sudden Shimon realizes, hey, I think I made a major mistake over here. I don't owe this money, and for whatever reason, the winds are blowing against me. Here, Rabbi Meir says that we really have a method, so to speak, of doing a psychological study of why he said what he said. Why did the nitbah say, all right, I'll pay you? And the reason is because he had faith in that bezdin. Well, now he no longer has faith in that bezdin. It's kind of like a conditional mechila. But again, the bottom line is, Don, that what Berzon is saying now is not in the Gemara. You know, Shmuel does not address this question. Right, so we can do somersaults in the air to try to make sense out of Rabbi Meir. But what we do gain from Shmuel, and that Shmuel says head on, is that Chachamim are built, the Shitas Chachamim Eina Yochel Latzibo is built on one word, one concept. What's that? Mechil.
And that's
why Reb Meir doesn't buy on to that. You know, I can be Mefalpil on that from now until Mashiach Tzeit and try to convince you, and maybe you're not convinced, maybe I'm not convinced.
So, Iten Lacha, they both agree, Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, that you can yachzor.
Correct. Why? Because it requires a key.
Okay, but in the case of Mochel Lecha, the Chachamim say it's binding, and Rabbi Meir says, no, you can return.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, and the Chachamim make a lot of sense. And that's what Shmuel builds on this svara, that Mechila is always binding. There's no backs in Mechila. If I say the words Mochel you, I've given up on my ownership right, so to speak, to demand payment.
Because there was a kidding.
And that giving up of my rights to demand payment of money that you owe me does not require a king. Why? Because that's the power inherent in Mechila. So again, Chanan, if I owe you 1,000, I come to you, I say, Chanan, look, it's tough times for me, and you just say one word, there's no kinyan. Mechila. One word comes out of your mouth, that's binding. That's the halach of Mechila. All of the laws of tshuva, when we come to God and we ask for forgiveness, are all based on this concept called Mechila. And now we're up to Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me just see. I don't know if the steam is coming up here. I don't know. All right. I'm getting it by dribbles, you know, but that's good. Well, that's all I need for my throat. All right. You know, they say about the Lithuanian Jews, I don't know if it's true, that they would hold a hot glass of, you know, Lithuania was very cold, all of Poland is cold, and they would hold a hot glass of tea in their hands, and you and I would not be able to do that. But they somehow, I guess they killed the nerve endings in their hands, because after, you know, from childhood, they were able to do this. I mean, like, for example, here, if I would hold this for a second, I would burn my hands off, you know. But the Litvak... So they asked Rav Baruch Ber, he was a Lithuanian Rosh Hashiva, what his vision of Olam Haba is, and he had three parts to it. One was a shtender, where he could put a Gemara. The second was a Gemara Yevamos, he loved Yevamos. And the third one, a glass of hot tea. You know? I don't think he meant it literally. You know?
Sugar.
Right, made with it's what they call tzik sugar. Yeah, tzik sugar. All right, now we get to Rav Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Yochanan wants to suggest the following, that the machlokas is about etein lecha. In other words, when the Chachamim said that eino yochel lachzor bo, they were talking about the case of the Nitba, who made a statement, I'll accept the judgment of these disqualified judges, even if it means I have to pay you out of pocket. And once he makes that statement, there was no Ginyan, it's binding and it's irretractable. And that undermines everything we've been saying. Rabbi Yochanan is on a different planet.
This is the Chachamim saying.
And he's saying in the Chachamim, Eino Yochel Lachzubo, in the case of Etei Lucha. Now, what would you say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of Machol Lucha, where the Tovea says, I'll drop my case against you? Would the Rabbanan allow, would the Rabbanan validate the possibility of Chazorah? Anybody? What would you say? If according to Rabbi Yochanan, Chachamim say Eina Yochel Lachzabo and Etei Lecha, what would the Chachamim say about Machol Lecha? For sure, that goes without saying. That's what we call in Yiddish Upkaret. Upkaret means we don't even have to talk about it.
The
Kal V'Chomer, it goes without saying. The tricky part here is why Chachamim would apply the principle of Eina Yochel Lachzabo to the case of Etei Lecha. And this is what the Muki Yosef is trying to figure out here. Where's the Kenyan? A man says, I'll pay you. We never found anywhere in Halacha that a man who says, I pay you, is bound to pay. He could change his mind. I'll pay you if I'm in the mood to pay you. But that's it. And he comes up with a super theory here about the fact that that in this case, the Dayan is not making the decision, it's really based on the evidence, it's a Dov Yadua Ubarur. I'm not even going to go over this whole thing. We discussed this at some length, and maybe we'll pick it up today if you're around at 10:30, you know, we'll go back to this in Muki Yosef perhaps, I don't know, I'm not promising. But this is the weak link here in this sugya of Rabbi Yochanan, that the Chachamim would say that even a statement of Etein Lecha, again, those aren't the words that came out of his mouth. Okay. The Nitba says, I'm going to rely on these Edom, I'm accepting these disqualified judges, even though it might mean that I'm going to have to take money out of my account that I don't owe you, I'm going to pay you, that's called Etein Lecha, and conceptually it's Etein Lecha, and Eino Yochel Lachzabo, that's mine. Where do we find that Etein Lecha is binding? And then Muki Yosef takes a stab at it, and it becomes a Tzarech Iyu. So now, when you have a machlokes with two cases, then you could create a table that has four boxes in it. So, with regard to the Chachamim, I know exactly how Rabbi Yochanan would fill in the two boxes. If in the case of Etein Lecha, it's Eino Yochel Lachzabo, certainly in the case of Machol Lecha, it's Eino Yochel Lachzabo. But now let's fill in the two boxes for Rabbi Meir. And this becomes a little complicated. Why? Because the words of Rabbi Yochanan, Machlokes be'Etein Lecha, means that Rabbi Meir, in the case of Etein Lecha, says what? Yochel Lachzabo. That he can change his mind. Yeah. What would Rabbi Meir say in the case of Machol Lecha? Because again, Reish Lakish, I'm sorry, Shmuel had said that what's the din in the case of Machol Lecha according to Rabbi Meir? Yochel Lachzabo. What would Rabbi Yochanan say according to Rabbi Meir in the case of Machol Lecha? Rabbi Yochanan really didn't say a word about this. The Gemara is now going to analyze and vacillate about this point. But let's just as an introduction to the next piece of Gemara, let's see which of the four boxes are left open at this point, if we stick to the text of Rabbi Yochanan. We know, according to the Chachamim, if you're creating this table, that both in the case of Etein Lecha, and how much more so in the case of Machol Lecha, Eino Yochel Lachzabo. That's clear. We know that according to Rabbi Meir, in the case of Etein Lecha, the din is that Yochel Lachzabo. And that we understand. You know, we're very comfortable with that because there was no Kenyan over here. What would Rabbi Meir say according to Rabbi Yochanan in the case of Machol Lecha? We said that according to Rabbi Yochanan, certainly, I'm sorry, according to the Chachamim, certainly is Eino Yochel Lachzabo in the case of Machol Lecha. But again, Rabbi Meir, it's hard because Rabbi Meir says Yochel Lachzabo in the case of Etein Lecha. Would Rabbi Meir go as far as to say Yochel Lachzabo even in the case of Machol Lecha? Which would mean we have two very challenging, conceptually challenging boxes, so to speak. We don't understand, A, why the Chachamim would say Eino Yochel Lachsubo in the case of Etein Lecha, and B, why Rabbi Meir would say Yochel Lachsubo even in the case of Machol Lecha, because that's a Gevaldige Chiddush. So that's the next line in the Gemara, Iboilehu. Iboilehu always introduces a suffix. We don't know, and the Bnei HaYeshiva vacillated back and forth as to what Rabbi Yochanan had in mind. And
where are we now?
Iboilehu. We're up to how many lines up from the bottom? Just 1 second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 lines. The first word in the line is Lachzorbo. It's the third word in the third line in the Gemara. Okay. If you go across with your finger, Iboilehu.
Okay.
Now this Iboilehu is a suffix in Rabbi Yochanan. What did Rabbi Yochanan mean? When he, because he only said those three words, etein lecha machlokes. So what does that mean? Etein lecha machlokes, meaning the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham only applies to etein lecha. But machol lecha, divrei akol eino yochol lachsevo. In other words, there's no need, according to the Gemara now, to expand the machlokes. You know, we want to make harmony as much as we can. We want to reduce the machlokes. So we're going to say that certainly Rabbi Meir would agree in the case of Mechila that Eino Yochel Lachsubo, because as we said over and over again, Mechila is binding. The machlokes is going to be about Etein Lechon. The weak link now is in the equation is Chacham. The Chacham was saying Eino Yochel Lachsubo in the case of Etein Lechon, and the Muki Yosef is going to try to figure out why. So again, in possibility number one, we are restricting, reducing the machlokes, the scope of the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. And basically we're saying that in the case of Machol Lecha, everybody agrees, whether it's Chachamim and even Rabbi Meir, Eino Yochel Lachsubo. Because Mechila is irretractable. The machlokes is going to be about Etein Lecha. Chachamim are saying, even though Etein Lecha is not the same as Mechila, but we're going to equate it with Mechila, Eino Yochel Lachsubo. And Rabbi Meir says, no, Etein Lecha is a new transaction, a new Eschaimus, and it requires a Kenyan. There was no Kenyan, it's Yochel Lachsubo. That's a machlokes in Etein Lecha. But there was never a debate about Machol Lecha. Oh, Dilma, now the Gemara has another possibility. Let's expand the scope of the machlokes. Bein bazu, ubein bazu machlokes. Which means that they argue not only in the case of Etein Lecha, but they argue even in the case of Machol Lecha, which means that Rabbi Meir holds, like as a matter of principle, Chok v'lo Yavar, and it's absolute with no exception that Yochel Lachsubo. He was never serious about this, or it was conditional in his mind. He doesn't want this false Bezdin to make him pay. And therefore, Rabbi Meir is going to say that Yochel Lachsubo, even in the case of Mechila, and now we have a machlokes between, machlokes now between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and they argue in two cases, in Etein Lecha and in Machol Lecha. No, I'm sorry, just 1 second, did I get that right?
Yeah.
Like, just give 1 minute, I just want to make sure I got that right. That in Etein Lecha, Chachamim, but in the case of Machol Lecha, 1 second, according to this tzad in Rabbi Yochanan, bein bezu machlokes, meaning, oh, right, I forgot about the Kal v'chomer. Yeah, so if according to Rabbi Yochanan, Chachamim saying Yochel Lachsubo in the case of Etein Lecha, how much more so in the case of Machol Lecha, that he's Eino Yochel Lachsubo, it's irretractable. Rabbi Meir, according to this second side, is saying Yochel Lachsubo not only in the case of Etein Lecha, but even in the case of Machol Lecha. Okay. Toshma. Now this Toshma, I just want to comment from a methodological point of view in terms of Talmudic methodology is a bit strange. Because if you want to know exactly what Rabbi Yochanan had in mind, you should prove it from whom? From a statement by whom? If you have a doubt about Rabbi X, did he mean this or did he mean that? And you want to quote a proof text, who should be the author of that proof text? Are you with me, Rav Moshe? That didn't make any sense, what I just said. Again, there's a rabbi. We'll call him Rabbi X. And I don't know, did he mean this or did he mean that? So the ultimate proof should come from the mouth of Rabbi X. Am I right?
Yeah.
So if you have doubt about Rabbi Yochanan, then you should be quoting Rabbi Yochanan. And instead, the Gemara is going to quote Rava. Rava lived in a later generation. And that's a little bit odd. I mean, maybe the Gemara wants to say that this is Rava's take on Rabbi Yochanan. I don't know. But this is not what you call glot. You know, usually you have a suffix about whatever the name of the rabbi is, so quote him in a different context or a different statement, a different source. The Amar Rava, Rava says, Machlokes bi'etein lecha. So far he repeated word for word what we saw in Rabbi Yochanan. And the Machlokes is in etein lecha, and the Chacham hold that even in the case of etein lecha, Eino yochel lachzor bo. Oh, but now he adds a few words. This is Rava. This we didn't see in Rabbi Yochanan. Avol machol lecha divrei hakol eino yochel lachzor bo. So is Rava expanding the machlokas or reducing the machlokas? He's reducing the machlokas. He's saying that the machlokas is in etein lecha and only in etein lecha. As far as machol lecha, mechila is valid. And it's binding and it's irretractable, even according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir did not deny the basic concept of Mechila and its power and its authority. So Gemara says the following: I amrit bishlema. If you're going to take the first approach in the Iboilu, who remember the suffix that we vacillated about, that be etein lecha machlokas aval machol lecha divrei hakol eino yochol lachzor bo. The machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chacham, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is limited to etein lecha. In Machal Lecha, everybody agrees, Eini Yochel Lachzor Bo, because Mechila is so powerful. Is then Rava, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan. I'm very comfortable with saying that Rava accepted the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore Rava pointed out, reflecting the first Sad in the Sofek in Rabbi Yochanan, that in the case of Machal Lecha, there's no debate whatsoever. Even Rabbi Meir agrees that ain't a yochel lachzor bo, because as we said, mechila is binding. But if you're going to take the second interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan, which means bein bezu ubein bezu, machlokes, that the machlokes applies even to the case of machalacha, is Rava di Omar Kiman. Rava doesn't reflect anybody if you can accept the shita, because again, according to Shmuel said that b'machol lecha, let's go back to Shmuel for a minute. B'machol lecha, I'm sorry. Shmuel said be etein lecha is divrei hakol yochel lachzor bo. Now Rav is saying that the machlokas itself is in the case of etein lecha. So Rav could not possibly square with Shmuel. Now it's going to turn out that Rava can't square with Rabbi Yochanan either, because we're holding now that Rabbi Yochanan, like the first Tzad in the Sofek, reduced the Machlokas. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No.
If we hold like Rabbi Yochanan in the second Tzad, I meant to say, where we expand the Machlokas, and that means that even in the case of Machlokas, there's going to be a Machlokas, Rabbi Meir is going to insist the Yochel Lachzor Bo, then Rava, the Omer Kaman. Rava cannot square with Rabbi Yochanan. But if we say that that we accept the first side in the Sofek about Rabbi Yochanan, in which we restrict the Machlokas, and that means that in the case of Machlokas, everybody agrees that Yochel Lachzor Bo, then Rava is just reflecting the Shita Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, right now the Gemara holds that Rava, insofar as he's a later Amora, he has to fit into some pre-existing box. Either he has to attach himself to Shmuel, which he cannot do because Shmuel said that in Etein Lecha, everybody agrees Yochel Lachzor Bo, and Rava said there's a machlokas in the case of Etein Lecha. Or if you take Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Bein Bezu Machlokas going to that side, then he's expanding the scope of the Machlokas, so that Rabbi Meir holds Yochel Lachzor Bo, even in the case of Machlokas, then Rava cannot square with Rabbi Yochanan. So how could it be that Rava came up in a later generation with a Shita that doesn't reflect neither Rabbi Yochanan nor Shmuel? And the answer is, let's go back to the first side in Rabbi Yochanan, which means that the machlokas is only about etein lecha. We're going to restrict and limit the machlokas, but in the case of machal lecha, there is no machlokas, and even Rabbi Meir agrees that yochal lachzimo. That's exactly what Rava says. So the Gemara now rejects it. Rava, taima d'nafshei kama. You know what? Rava is a big boy. He doesn't have to fit into any box. He doesn't have to accept neither Shmuel nor Rabbi Yochanan. It's a third shita. Shmuel holds that in the case of etein lecha, everybody agrees yochal lachzimo. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the chacham hold eino yochal lachzimo in the case of etein lecha, and at that point Rava agrees with Rabbi Yochanan. But here's where Rabbi Yochanan and Rava part ways. Rabbi Yochanan is willing to say that there's a twofold machlokes. And Rabbi Meir disagrees, even in the case of Machalcha, maintaining and insisting that Yochal Lachzimo. And here's where Rava puts his foot down, and he says, Adkan, no, I'm not going to tolerate that understanding of Rabbi Meir, of Rabbi Yochanan, and I'm going to disagree with Rabbi Yochanan. I'll only agree with Rabbi Yochanan that the Chachamim hold Einu Yochal Lachzimo in the case of Etein Lecha. That I'll accept, says Rava. But in the case of Machalcha, to accuse Rabbi Meir of holding that Yochal Lachzimo, even after Mechila, that's libel. That's already, that already you're destroying the reputation of Rabbi Meir. I can't accept such a thing. So that's called in the language of the Gemara, Rava Taima Dinafshe Ka'am. Now the Gemara is going to quote Rav Acha as a kasha on Rav. Eisvel, ask you a kasha. Who asked this kasha? It was Rav Acha bar Tachlifa. And to whom did he address his kasha? To Rava. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Hoya chayv l'chaveru shvua. V'omar lo. Now, you know, there are a lot of pronouns here, which is the enemy of man. Pronouns is the enemy of man. That's my own phrase.
Because you don't know who it's referring to.
Because you never figure it out. It's so confusing. You know, if you're in marriage therapy and they talk about communication skills or any other discussion about communication skills, it's all about pronouns. You know, who's on first and who's on second, you know, that whole discussion. So when it says, right, what's up? So when it says, Hayah Chayav Lechavero Shvua, who is Hayah? He is Chayav. Who's the he?
Yeah.
Anybody want to take a stab at it? Who's generally Chayav a Shvua in Dine Mominus? I'll give you two choices. You have a 50% chance of getting the right answer. It's either the Tovea or the Nitva. Who has to take the Shvua?
The Nitva.
So now we're going to assume that when it says Hayachayev lechaver Shvua, it's referring to the Nitva, to the defendant. Now the Omar Lo. Now somebody is talking to him and saying, "I'm going to alleviate you of the Shvua. I'm going to lower the Shvua." Correct. That's the Tovea. So the Omar Lo now is the Tovea who's talking to the Nitba. So again, Hoyachayv lechaver Shvua is referring to the Nitba. The Omar Lo is referring to the Tovea. The Tovea is now talking to the Nitba, and he says, "You know what? I'm very compassionate. I'm in a good mood, and forget about the Shvua, where you have to take, a Sefer Torah to your hand, and you have to mention the name of God and swear and all the whole thing. Darling, you know, take a low key Shvua." And say Bechaye Roshi. Just say the words, "I swear on my beard. I swear on my life." And Rebbe Omer, Yochal Lachzimo. V'chacham Rebbe Eino Yochal Lachzimo. Now wait a minute, what is this case? Is this a case of Machal Lecha? Or is this a case of Etein Lecha? We're about to give it a minute of thought. If the Tovea says the Nitba, I'm going to let you off the hook without a Shvua. Is that called Etein Lecha or Machal Lecha? It's Machal Lecha for sure. Because basically the Tovea has rights to collect this money. And if he, the Nitba, doesn't take the Shvua, he's going to have to pay this money. And now the Tovea is alleviating the Nitba of his Chiv Shvua. And that's called Machal Lecha. My love, doesn't it mean... This is a rhetorical question. Doesn't it mean the Osan Hanishboin Velo Mishalmin, meaning we're referring to the Nitba who takes a Shvua to release him from the obligation to pay, Again, all the evidence is kind of stacked up against him. But the Torah says, you know what? If he takes the real Makoy Shvua with all the spook, then we believe him. Now he's not taking that Shvua, and yet he's off the hook. He's released from his chiyuv. The Havile Machalucha. This can only work within the framework of Mechila. It means that the Toveah is saying to the Nitpah, you don't have to take the Shvua. I'm Mochel you, and you don't have to pay me, even without the Shvua. When I say the Shvua, I mean the real Shvua. Now, wait a second. We just finished saying, according to Rava, that Be'etein Lecha Machlokes, Abel B'Mochel Lecha, Divrei HaKol, even Rabbi Meir would agree, Eino Yochel Lachsebo. That's not so. Because our Mishnah, let's say it reflects the Shita Rabbi Meir, even in the case of Mochel Lecha, is accepting a chazara, the possibility of chazara. Now again, if we took the second sada in Rabbi Yochanan, if you recall, bein bezu machlokas, which means we expand the scope of the machlokas, then at least we can interpret the sefer of our Mishnah according to Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir was the one who says that yochel lachzer bo, even in the case of mochel lecha, and then the Mishnah is going to quote the sheet of the Chachamim, that ain't a yochel lachzer bo, but it means that Rabbi Meir went as far as to say that even in the case of mochel lecha, where the Toveya is completely releasing the nitba of his obligation to pay, that's called mechila. Nevertheless, Rabbi Meir says, and it's explicit in that Mishnah, yochel lachzer bo. And that really torpedoes Rava, because Rava said that in the case of Mochel Lecha, even Rabbi Meir accepts the validity and the binding nature of a Mechila. So like any my love, whenever you see that, you know the Gemara is going to reject it. Lo, that's not the Pshat in the Mishnah. Be'osan ha'nishboin v'notlin. We're talking about a case where after we weigh the evidence, we come to the conclusion that the Tovea does not have ample evidence. He's on the way, shall we say. He has quite a bit of evidence, but it's not clinching. It doesn't convince us beyond a shadow of a doubt. We need one more element to the equation, and that's a Shmuel. This is called a Nishpa V'notel. Before we were talking about Nishba Velo Meshalim, that's the Nitba takes the Shvua, therefore he's alleviated from payment. Now we're talking about Nishba Menotel, that means the plaintiff will have to take the Shvua in order to be Notel, in order to collect the money. Because as I said before, he has evidence, but not enough evidence. He's like 70-80% of the way there, but we need the extra 30-20%, which is supplied by the Shvua. That's called the Nishba Menotel. Now, Nishba V'notel requires a very, very serious, scary Shvua with all the spooks that we mentioned before. So who is talking to whom and alleviating whom from the Shvua? Until now we said it was the Tovea who alleviates the Nitba from the Shvua, and he says, you know what, I'm going to be Mochel you, and you don't have to pay me even though you didn't take the Shvua. But now we're talking about a Nishba V'notel, which means that the rights and the ability of the Toveah to collect stand on the shoulders of the Shvua. So who's saying that I'll pay you even without the Shvua? Is that the Nitba or is that the Toveah? Who's talking to whom here, Rabbi Osai? Who says that you don't have to take the spooky Shvua?
The Nitba.
Right? The defendant is saying that although I'll be Allah, I don't have to pay you unless you take this very, very severe and scary Shvua. I'm willing to say, you know, just say Chai Roshi and I'll pay you. Oh, the Havile ke etein lecha. Now the whole picture changes because instead of mechila, when the Tovea says to the Nitba, you know what? I'm going to alleviate you of payment even without a shvua, which is called mechila, even though you owe me the money. Now what we're saying is that the Nitba is willing to pay out of pocket, even though the Tovea's rights to collect, because he has only 70% or 80% of the weight of the evidence, are totally contingent on the Shvua Chamura, on the serious Shvua. And now the Nitba says, you know what, I'm going to pay you even if you don't take that Shvua. Ah, that's already Etein Lecha. Now it's the Nitba who's talking. When the Nitba is talking, it's Etein Lecha. And Rava says that in the case of Etein Lecha, Rabbi Meir holds that yochel lachzor bo, and that's what the Mishnah and the Sefer is codifying a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about a case of etein lecho, where the nitba says to the toveya, "I'm going to alleviate you from the shvua," which means I'm going to pay out of pocket. And when he says, "I make a commitment to pay out of pocket, even though I don't owe you the money," that's words according to Rabbi Meir. That's not a kinyan, and therefore it's not retractable. It's not irretractable. It's retractable. Okay. Now the Gemara asks the Kasha, Vatani le Reisha. Now this is a fascinating question. In the case of the Reisha, we have a case of Etein Lecha. Now, let's understand why the Reisha is a case of Etein Lecha. The Nitba says to the Toveya, "I'm willing to pay you if these judges who are disqualified will find me obligated to pay." That's a case of Etein Lecha. And we said that according to Rava, and even Rabbi Yochanan before Rava, be'etein lecha machlokas. So the Mishnah already in the Reisha records a machlokas about etein lecha, meaning where the nitba says to the toveya, "I'll pay you out of pocket," even though these judges are not qualified. Again, had it been the toveya who was saying that I will rely on this bezdin, and if they find you to be not chayv, you're off the hook.
That's
machal lecha, and in that case, the mishnah is not addressing that case, because in that case, everybody agrees, according to Rava and one side of Rabbi Yochanan, that ain't a yochel lachzavo. So how can the Mishnah record a machlokes where a man says yochel lachzavo? It must be the case of etein lecha, which means the nitba is committing himself to pay if these judges find him guilty, so to speak, right? Well, that's exactly the Sefer. The Sefer itself, according to our last interpretation of Nishba Venotel, is again a case where the Nitba says to the Toveh, "I'm willing to pay you out of pocket, even though you don't take the Shvuah." The halacha requires you as an absolute critical prerequisite that you cannot force me to pay without taking shvua. I'm going to alleviate you of that shvua. I'm going to pay you out of pocket. That's called etein lecha. So basically what the Gemara is asking is that the Reisha and the Seifa are really repeating the same concept, that we have machlokas Rabbi Meir and Chachamim about etein lecha. And that's called in the language of the Gemara, Vatani le Reisha. The Seifa is not adding anything to the Reisha. Okay, now let's see if we can figure out the Gemara's answer. Now, watch what's going to happen here. This is such a typical structure of Talmudic logic. What the Gemara is going to do is it's going to tell you that if I only had the Reisha, I wouldn't know the Sefer according to Rabbi X. And if I only had the Sefer and I didn't have the Reisha, I would come to the mistaken conclusion as far as Rabbi Y is concerned. So we have Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim. And in each case, we need a chiddush. And there's a special chiddush in each case, and if I need the Reisha and the Sefer. I need the Reisha for one rabbi, I need the Sefer for the other rabbi, but I need that I can maintain the integrity of the mission. So Gemara says the following. What's the difference between two cases of etein lecha? In the first case, the Reisha of etein lecha, the Nitba says that if these judges find me chayav, I'll pay you out of pocket. In the Sefer, the Nitba says to the Toveya, if you will take a lower level of shvur, I'm willing to pay you out of pocket. So in both cases, it's etein lecha. Is there some sort of conceptual difference between the Reisha and the Sefer? So the Gemara now introduces the following two possibilities, two concepts, so to speak. One is called Tole Bedas Acherim, and the other is called Tole Bedas Atzmo. Let's say it this way. In terms of percentages, in which of these two cases is there a greater or higher percentage that the nitba is going to have to pay out of pocket? In the case of Dayanim, or the case of a shvua. In other words, we're going into the mindset of the nitpa. We're mamish doing a we're studying psychiatry 1.1, and we're doing psychology 1.1. We're going to analyze the mindset of the nitpa, and we have two cases, and we're trying to figure out in which case does the nitpa realize up front that he's going to pay out of pocket at the end of the day. One case is the case of Dayanim, which the Gemara describes as Tola B'das Acherim. And the other case is the case of the Shvua in the Sefer of the Mishnah, which the Gemara is going to describe as Tola B'das Atzma. So Rabbi Bosai, in which of these two cases is there a greater assumption, a higher, let's say, statistical probability assumption on the part of the Nitpa that he's going to have to pay out of pocket? Jerry, can you figure that out? In the case of Dayanim, what would you say is the percentages that he might have to pay out of pocket when he's not really chayav to pay? 50-50. Go flip a coin. I mean, go figure out what these judges are going to decide. I mean, either they'll decide that he's chayav and the nitpa has to pay out of pocket, or that he's potter. There's no way of knowing. But not so in the case of the Seifa.
100%.
Correct? Because what is the Nitpa saying to the Tovei? He's saying, you know what? I'm going to pay you. Just take a low ebb oath, and that's it. That's called Tola B'das Atzmo. Atzmo meaning he's being told in the Das of the Tovei. Well, what are the chances that the Tovei is going to take him up on the offer, and he's going to be willing to take a low level of Shvua and collect that money without a Shvua?
Pretty good.
High.
Pretty good. That's a very high percentage.
So it's Das Atzmo means himself. It means a mitzvah. It's a Das Atzmo.
Well, Atzmo means the Tovea here in this case. Why? The word Atzmo means it's totally in his own Das. Meaning, the question is, again, pronouns. Whose Das is? So the Nitva is saying to the Tovea, you'll make the decision. Will you take this oath or will you not make this oath? That's called Tola B'das Atzmo. Meaning the Atzmo Shala Tovea, he doesn't have to get any permission from anybody else. And certainly, if you give him that green light and the license to decide to take that low-level shvu and collect 1,000, there's no reason up front, you know, to assume that he won't take advantage of such an opportunity.
Does he run any risk of not having a full high-level shvu? Has it got any
repercussions? No, it's a win-win situation for him, because he's going to collect the money with a low-level shvu. So he has no... It could be that he'll get nervous even about a low-level shvu, but there's very, very serious, strong statistical grounds to assume that he will go ahead and take the shvu. Now, having set up that conceptual difference, now the Gemara is going to flesh it out. Why do I need the Reisha, and why do I need the Seifa? Utsricha. Okay. And every Utsricha means we're going to go back and forth in both directions. The Itana, if we only had Tola B'das Acher, which is that, the Reisha or the Seifa?
Reisha.
That's the Reisha of Dayanin, which is a 50-50. Is Bahaka Amar Rabbi Meir? I would have thought that here Rabbi Meir says when it's a 50-50 chance, and the nitpa, you know, is optimistic. He's holding out. The motzi hadar be mishum delo gomer umakne the omer miyemar de mizakile. Meaning, if we do this psychological study and analysis of the mindset of the nitpa, we're going to come to the conclusion that the nitpa was very iffy here. He was very wishy washy, and therefore, Rabbi Meir holds that yochel lachzer bo. Why that's called in the Gemara's language, you want to underline these three words, delo gomar umak. He did not really come up with a full-fledged, absolute, gemiras das, you know, a will or an acceptance, an approval of his chiyuv. You know, he was really just, you know, I think I mentioned to you once that we're going to have a Gemara probably in 2 days or so about Misaki Bekubia. That Misaki Bekubia, if he's a professional gambler, he always assumes he's going to win. In this case, he doesn't assume he's going to win. Mi yemar de mizakile. He doesn't know whether he's going to win or he's not going to win. And therefore, in such a case, lo gomar umakne. He's really very iffy about it. He's very nervous about it. He doesn't know whether... So Reb Meir steps up to the plate and he says, therefore, if it's lo gomer umakni, he didn't really have a full-fledged decision that he was going to pay. He was very hesitant and inhibited about it. In such a case, yochel lachzer bo. It wasn't a full-fledged gmiras das, gomer umakni. Avol tole b'das atzmo. If the nitba realizes up front that the dice are now in the hands of the tovea, because the tovea has the ability by virtue of the commitment of the nitba to take this lo ev shvua ema modulu rabbanon, maybe we would think, if we didn't have the sefer, that Rebbe would agree in this case that ena yochel lachzer bo, because he had a full fledged absolute gemiras das, because he knew that the cards were stacked against him, and yet he said, I'll pay you out of pocket. It must mean that he made that clear-cut decision in his mind, anticipating that he would pay out of pocket. So now we understand that we justify the sefer. We need the sefer of Shvuah to be machadish that Rabbi Meir still insists, even in the etein lecha of the Shvuah, that he could be chozer bo, because you know what? Maybe he thinks in his mind that the Tovea will not take the Shvuah, whatever it might be. And now to finish it up, the Iyash Minim Baha, what if we only had the case of the Shvuah, we only had the sefer? Is I would have said that in the case of the sefer Baha, in the case of the Shvuah, Ka'ami Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say that Eino Yochel Lachzer Bo, because again, he knew the Nitba. When he made that commitment to pay, if the Tovea would opt for the Shvuah, he knew full well that the cards are stacked against him, and in all likelihood, he is going to have to pay out of pocket. That was a complete Gemiras Das, and the Chachamim therefore assume that Eino Yochel Lachzer Bo was an absolute commitment on his part. Avol Bahi, but in the Reisha, in the case of Dayanim, Ema Modulei L'Rabbi Meir, maybe the Rabbanan agreed to Rabbi Meir, but it's very iffy. He really doesn't know what the outcome is. He's hoping and he's holding out that the outcome will be in his favor. And therefore, when he said, I'll pay you out of pocket, he didn't really mean it. You know, it's just wishful thinking. Here, maybe the Rabbanan would agree to Rabbi Meir that it's Yochel Lachzer Bo. Why? Because in the case of Dayanan, there was no absolute solid commitment or Gemiras Das. Tzricha. Therefore, I need the Reisha. So again, just to summarize, I need the Sefer to be Mechadish that Rabbi Meir, even in the case of Tola B'das Atzmo, meaning even in the case of Shvuah, Rabbi Meir still insists that Yochel Lachzer Bo, even though you and I would have argued, well, there's a complete Gemiras Das, because come on, don't fool yourself. The Nitba knew that he was going to have to pay out of pocket, so he made an absolute commitment. And if I only had the Seifa and I didn't have the Reisha, I would be confused about the Sheet of the Chachamim in the case of Tolib Das Acherim, because maybe in Tolib Das Acherim the Chachamim would agree to the logic of Rabbi Meir that Yochel Lachzer Bo, because Lo Gomar Umakne. He never really had a full-fledged commitment. He was really holding out and hoping that, like any gambler, that he would win and the Bezdin would find in his favor. Okay, Rabbi Moshe, so this is where we're going to stop for today. And if you can make a note of it, we're up to Amar Reish Lakish. And anyone who's interested in a little bit more Be'iyun, then we'll meet Amir Tzashem today at 10:30. I wish you all a wonderful Chanukah.